Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program. It's Friday night. Guess you guys are excited. Kind of bummed out. My Friday is like the world's Monday. 2 days, no show. It's the Mark Twain thing on Sunday. You know, Sunday pulled through. But at any rate, we've got a little less than 3 hours of havoc and mayhem that we can raise and ruckus about this evening. Hope you'll join in. The phone number you just heard, the other phone number, of course, if you're local or if you don't need us to pay the freight on the phone call, you know, that's fine. 304-658-3333. Email is bob@headonradio.com. My lovely wife, Agnes, behind the controls for the Heart of the Sun. And she has her own email, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, @headonradio.com. You know, as I looked at the stories today, sometimes themes emerge. And one of them emerged today. You know, some nights, you know, and I'll be up front with you. Some nights they're kind of scattershot. Just sort of, you know, let go of the shotgun blast and see what you bring down. Ooh, he's violent, isn't he? But there's a theme tonight. And the theme that occurred to me is that, well, it's kind of a puckered up Friday. And I'm not talking about anybody with their kissy little lips puckered up either. There are people all puckered up across the country. You and I, if we've got any sense, are probably a little bit that way too. But I was thinking more into, well, I had an email from a new listener, Mark, in California, asking about an update on the Walmart story. You know, we covered that last night. It turned out if you went to Walmart.com, and you say wanted to buy, well, this is the way it was. If you wanted to buy the complete box set of the entire series, TV series of Planet of the Apes, it gave recommendations. Yeah, Planet of the Apes, big gorillas, talking gorillas, that kind of thing. And it gave recommendations, and it said, you know, if you like this program, you might like The Life of Martin Luther King Jr. No kidding. So Mark wrote and asked if it could be that he was not browsing properly at the Walmart.com site. He went to have a look at it for himself. And a lot of other people did as well, much to their chagrin. But I went and looked. It was there. However, in the interim, Walmart heard of it, and our friend Gene tells me that I was the only one that hit this story yesterday that he knew of, and he listens to a lot of liberal talk radio. In an age where e-commerce sites are searching for ways to make shopping a breeze for consumers to their sites, retailing giant Walmart stores on Thursday encountered a major blunder, and that's the story I told you about last night. As I said, if you went looking for Planet of the Apes, it directed you to the Martin Luther King Jr. story. The Dorothy Dandridge story. What a beautiful woman. It also directed you to the Jack Johnson story, the great American boxer. It also directed you to a biopic of Tina Turner. You know, can you just imagine what would happen if Tina was to get hold of one of those Sam Walton airs? What do you mean you comparing me? Ooh! You never know. She might have learned a little something from Ike. You get the idea that Ms. Turner is not in the take any more crap for the rest of my life mode. Right, honey? So, Walmart shut, this is the upshot of it. Walmart shut down the movie cross-selling system. And they said that they were terribly, terribly sorry, but that they had had a computer malfunction that caused shoppers to be directed from Planet of the Apes to, you know, movies about those people. Now, come on. Walmart's a Republican outfit. They give all of their money to Republicans, or virtually all of their money. They're one of the largest corporate donors in America. They make Jack Abramoff look like a piker when it comes to their giving. They give it almost entirely to Republicans, and as I have said 1,000 times before, scratch a Republican, find a bigot. So, oh God, you know, now I'm no computer genius, but I am told by computer geniuses, genie-e-e-e, I don't know, my Latin fails me there, but I'm told by other computer geniuses that a computer only does what its programmer tells it to do. Is that right, guys, ladies, computer geniuses? The computer only does what a human being tells it to do. Unless Walmart has risen to the level of it's got one of those National Security Administration Uniblab 10,000s that, you know, I'm sorry, Hal, I can't do that. I must direct shoppers for Planet of the Apes, the TV series, to movies about African Americans. And I don't, you know, as penny pinching as Walmart is, I don't think that they're up there doing the artificial intelligence thing just quite yet. But that didn't slow Walmart down. The geniuses at Walmart said, we have pulled the entire movie cross-selling system until the problem is resolved. And they are heartsick. That's the word they used in their little press release. Heartsick. We're heartsick. Over the offensive combinations of the movie cross-selling system. I don't know about you, but I was born at night, not last night.
But raise my rent.
Yeah. And as a consequence, I don't believe Walmart. Walmart may be heartsick. That part I believe. What Walmart is heartsick about, however, is that they caught showing their ugly, hateful, nasty, racist, bigoted side. Because that computer cross-selling system did not do that all by itself. They had help. The little electrons and stuff shuttling back and forth through their mainframe or whatever it is. That computer did not accomplish that all by itself.
Need any help?
Oh, all I can get.
So, you know, I'll leave that up to you. I mean, the computer people, you know, can that computer do that by itself? I mean, wouldn't there have to be some frame of reference in order for the Walmart computer to decide that there was a comparison between Planet of the Freaking Apes and the Martin Luther King Jr. story? Okay, let's go to the phones. Our good friend Ben is with us, and Ben is a computer genius. Can you help me, Ben?
Well, there is a thing in computer science. Just to give the Walmart people a little bit of wiggle room, and they certainly don't deserve any, but
at best, it's weasel room with Walmart.
Yeah, there's the sort of the law of unintended consequences. When you've got a system that wants to match patterns up, it doesn't take all that much to pollute the whole system. If one of the things that that they use, you know, it is sort of an artificial intelligence system, and Amazon does this very, very well. When you know you look at one thing, it leads you to another thing that is similar, not based upon any knowledge of what is similar necessarily, but based on two things. Number one is keywords, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And number two is the buying and browsing preferences of other people who have used the site.
Well, it's interesting you bring up Amazon, Ben, because I went to Amazon last night after reporting on this. And I punched it in, and I didn't get a reference over to, you know, the Martin Luther King story.
No, and you probably won't, because Amazon's been in use for a long time. The vast majority of people don't associate those two things, so their browsing preferences don't show you that. Now, what I suspect happened with the Walmart database is that while the database was being internally tested at Walmart, some of the people who were fiddling with it were pretty racist.
Oh.
And to them, these things went together. You know, mm-hmm. You know, gorillas went with black people.
Yeah, Jack Johnson.
You know the old Rodney King thing where the cops were on the radio talking about gorillas in the mist.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay. And it only really took, probably because the number of people who were messing with that database, I'm conjecturing here,
mm-hmm.
The number of people who were messing with that database were small. It only took one or two Klansmen to mess it all up for them.
Well, you know, the thing occurred to me, Ben, and I think you and I are on the same track. If you had some really hateful, racist, bigoted people, and this system tracks according to preferences and browsing patterns and things like that, that's conceivable, right?
Entirely.
And so,
especially if the first people you let onto the system were crackers.
Well, if you recall, do you remember what happens when you go to Google and you type in miserable failure?
Yep.
You go to George W. Bush.
Yep, and that's the result of an organized campaign by people to create a word association like that.
So that conceivably that could happen with the Walmart system?
Yes. So it's not likely the software itself, but the actual browsing patterns recorded in the database, you know, sort of a mental hologram of the people who were using it.
Well, the Walmart people, Ben, say that they are heartsick, and I can understand them being heartsick, because somewhere along the way, I mean, I doubt if this was an outside coordinated campaign by all those genius computer hackers from the Klan. You know, most of those people have a hard time with their shoelaces in the morning to begin with.
Or spelling the word moron.
By the way, we all know it's moron.
You should go over sometime, go to Wikipedia and look at the Free Republic entry.
Oh, I've seen that.
Well, and I've modified that entry a little bit.
Oh, good.
Including there is now a reference to the moron picture.
That kind of had to be there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's within the realms of what's acceptable with Wikipedia, because A, it's true, B, it's sourced, and C, it's relevant. So, you know, there are rules for editing Wikipedia. You can't just go in there, trash the whole entry, and say all freepers are racist scum.
Even if they are,
because you have to support that.
Right.
But, you know, once you learn how to dance within the rules, you can get your point of view across.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder, isn't the guy with the Moran sign, boy, we've gone afield, haven't we? Isn't the guy with the Moran sign wearing a St. Louis Cardinals t-shirt or something? Do I recall that correctly?
He's wearing a Cardinals t-shirt and a red, white, and blue do-rag.
Boy, wouldn't it just be awful to go to Wikipedia and link that photograph to an article on the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah, that would be awful.
I'm saying this to a Cubs fan, you know. But
you know, the Cardinals used to be a Chicago team.
That's true. They did. They did. They did indeed. But no, getting back to the Walmart thing, I wish this thing would get a little bit more legs than what it had, because, like I said, our listener, our friend Gene in Oregon, told me that you know, he listens to a whole bunch of progressive radio, and as far as he could tell, I was the only person who mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah, I think you were. I only heard half of Malloy, and he was going on and on about the fine Baptist minister.
Yeah, and Malloy did a wonderful job yesterday evening with the issue of you know, the mainstream media trying to convince the world that Jack Abramoff gave tons of money to Democrats too, and he did a wonderful, wonderful job with that. And that's, you know, that's why I like to pick some of this out of the way stuff, because, you know, they're real, you know, up there pros and can communicate that complicated stuff probably better than I.
Yep.
But so, you know, I had the Walmart thing, and I wish to God somebody at the NAACP could get hold of this. And because, you know, tell the African-American community that, yeah, this, you know, this is a Republican organization, and this is how they think about you.
I really do think that it records the internal prejudices within that organization. I really think that what happened was they went live with a database they had only used internally. And when they went live, those associations were frozen in there by having, you know, been traveled. Okay, you know, people travel from one thing to the next and, created an association that, you know, and they didn't wipe the database from that those internal testing situations before they went live.
And Walmart, you know, being as how they're, you know, intensive on time that they have the people that they pay spend on things, you know, let it ride.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. You know, and if it hadn't been noticed, if it hadn't been noticed, probably in a few weeks the association would have disappeared. Because, you know, these things are based on averages.
Well, sure.
That makes me.
I mean, how long has this database been up and running? It's nothing particularly new.
I'm not sure. I thought I had understood that they had gone live with this only with that particular thing, the movie associations, the suggested stuff, only recently.
Well, I know. Maybe it was just with the movies, but I know that for quite some time now, I won't shop there, but I do look at the site from time to time, and it gives you, you know, if you like this power saw, you'll like, you know, that electric screwdriver.
Yeah, I'd much rather, you know, I don't even look at it, you know. My opinion is, you know, Walmart needs to be broken up one store at a time with axes.
I tend to agree, and I'm just glad that, I'm not even going to say it, because Agent Fred would probably be on the door in a moment.
Yeah, that's okay. Agent Fred probably buys his sensible shoes at Walmart.
Well, that's true, too, and they last about a week and a half because they're made in China and they're garbage.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Ben. Thanks so very much.
You're very welcome.
Have a great night. Bye now. Now, speaking of the Chinese garbage that Walmart sells, I said this was kind of a puckered-up Friday and that all of us had reason to be a little puckered up. Found this at the 12th Harmonic blog. And I'll just read you straight from the entry. China indicated on Thursday it could begin to diversify its rapidly growing foreign exchange reserves. This is that complicated stuff I was talking about, so bear with me. Diversify its rapidly growing foreign exchange reserves away from the U.S. dollar and government bonds. You remember, you do remember when Dear Leader went to Parkersburg, West Virginia, to the Ronald Reagan Department of the Public Debt? And they showed him the file cabinet that has all the Social Security treasury bills in it. You know, the government promises to pay back the Social Security fund for what it rips off, you know, to give tax cuts to people who live on Lark's Vomit canapes and caviar, that gang. And you remember when George Bush went there and they showed him the file cabinet? He said, hey, look at this. It's a file cabinet full of worthless IOUs. Those were 30-year treasury bills. Those were the indebtedness upon which this nation at this present time lives. Those worthless IOUs were, of course, what funded the tax cuts for our betters. They also happened to be those 30-year treasury bills, something in which China is heavily invested. So that if China suddenly decides that, they're not so crazy about 30-year U.S. T-bills anymore because George W. Bush has shattered our economy to the point that it could, you know, crash at any moment. Well, you get stories like this. China is going to diversify its rapidly growing foreign exchange reserves away from the U.S. dollar and government bonds. Anybody want to guess what happens when that goes down? Yes, Agnes?
A depression?
Oh, to make 1929 look zany. You win the prize for tonight. Yeah, I mean, we're talking atonal music, rioting in the streets, Budweiser, six packs of Budweiser going for $1,200. I don't know what people are going to do. So this story, yeah, it's a pucker-up kind of story. Economists estimate that more than 70% of the reserves are invested in U.S. dollar assets. And that's why we've been able to maintain the humongous deficits that we didn't have when George Bush was elected, but we do have now, what, $500 billion? Everybody start counting now. Get your pennies out. Let me know when your grandkids finish the job for you and get to a billion. Then do it 500 times more. That's our deficit. The reserves in China are accumulating at about $15 billion a month. And if they bail out on all that and call their cash, you'll be able to buy rolls of dollar bills instead of toilet paper, and probably will wind up doing so. You know, I'm not one of those, you know, build the bunker in the mountains and get all the freeze-dried food survivalist sort of type of guys and, you know, have everything in gold, you know, like you hear on, you know, oh, well, now is the time to invest in gold. Gold has gone up. Guess what? Gold is going up. Up, 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 up. Guess why? Because George W. Bush is destroying the dollar. Because it is, what was the word in Econ 101 or whatever way back in the day when dinosaurs roamed the earth and I was in college? Fiat money. Yeah, there it is. Fiat money. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver. It's not backed by tin. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. And the United States government cannot be said to be operating with very much resembling good faith right now, can we? So, yeah, pucker up. Hunker down. Because if you thought George Bush had screwed us up until now, you don't know screwing. Can you imagine that? And you do remember, don't you? You do remember that Saddam Hussein, long about January of 2003, October of 2002, was making some noises here and there all about how he wanted to quit trading oil in dollars and wanted to start trading it in euros. You saw what happened to Saddam Hussein. And we know, you know, well, it wasn't about oil. No, baby, it was about euros and dollars. And you do know that Iran is setting up an oil exchange that goes, you know, online this year, where the benchmark currency is going to be euros. Oh, yeah. You know, I love George Bush because he's a moral and righteous man. Okay, fine, I'll give you moral and righteous. I don't believe it worth a damn, but I'll give it to you. He's moral and he's righteous, but he is a moron. Moron. And his stupidity is going to cost the middle class its very existence. But that's just me, and I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is Head On.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Minutes before the hour. Thanks for sticking around. Hope your Friday night is going well. Hey, it's Friday evening. Friday afternoon. Maybe, you know, kick back, relax. You got a couple of days off. Be grateful for them. Weekends? Remember weekends? Yeah. You know where they came from, don't you? You know who invented the weekend, don't you?
Wasn't God.
Weekends come to you courtesy of organized labor. Remember that. And I saw a study, and I was amazed by it. Some 56 million American workers, I think I ran into this at the Service Employees International Union website, 56 million American workers, if they were given the opportunity, would like to belong to a union. Including maybe, I don't know, now 13 families in Upshur County, Barber County, West Virginia. Sad, sad, sad. 56 million American workers would like to belong to a union, but their employers utilize harsh, hateful laws that they have had passed through the Congress of the United States to keep those working people from forming a union and being treated like human beings. Because, you understand, I mean, that's the very essence of it. As long as you're one lone person against the corporation, you don't have a prayer. You get a few people standing together, level the playing field. Next thing you know, it's a different story altogether. Now, another update from last night. I told you a little, mentioned a little bit about Brother Lonnie Latham. Remember Brother Lonnie Latham? The pastor of South Tulsa Baptist Church. And one of the exalted high mucky mucks, like, you know, archbishop or whatever, you know, they don't have him, but he's like an archbishop in the Southern Baptist Convention. And he was caught propositioning a plainclothes Tulsa police officer. No, as Oklahoma City police officer. You know, drove up in the 2005 Mercedes, no kidding, really. Yeah, and rolls down the window and says, you know, hey, Joe, me love you long time. That guy, well, it turns out our good friend Peter from Tallahassee checked with the church website. Brother Latham's photograph has been scrubbed from the South Tulsa Baptist Church website. Wonder why. I don't know. You know, one could be cynical and say that it was because he was caught soliciting, homosexual acts. Which are okay by me, you know, do what you want to do, consenting adults, sure, no prob. But this guy had stood in the pulpit and railed against the evils of homosexuality. So, you know, to him we have a special scorn. And, you know, you could cynically say that it was removed because of the shame. I like to think it was removed because they're getting ready to put up the new and improved mugshot of Brother Lonnie Lavin. So there's that. And another story that bears our examination, something I ran across yesterday evening and promised that I would mention tonight. Jerry Falwell, yeah, great guy, Jerry Falwell, is going to hold a rally. And Brother Falwell is going to hold a rally in favor of Judge and Supreme Court nominee Sammy Alito. We call him Sammy Bad Breath.
I'm a God warrior!
Yes, he is. Jerry Falwell is. He's going to be in Philadelphia on January the 8th. Let's see, that's Sunday, isn't it? Oh, well, that makes perfect sense because it's Sunday, Justice Sunday, Part 3, The Horror Continues at the Greater Exodus Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And he's going to be there. Oh, brethren and sistren, we need constructionist, strict constructionist judges who will not be activists. You know, I bet your brother Lonnie Latham's wishing he had him an activist judge who could just look at him and say, go and sin no more, never mind the law. But, see, activist judges are only fun if they're out there activistly legislating on behalf of the rich and the religiously insane like Brother Falwell. Yeah, Brother Falwell's going to be there. And Tony Perkins, Norman? Tony Perkins is going to be there, the former insurance salesman who bought his telemarketing list from David Duke. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Time after time after time after time. You scratch the Republican, you find the bigot.
This is like the seventh degree of Kevin Bacon.
Well, yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, no, but it doesn't take 7 degrees, honey. It's like 2 degrees and bang, you're in the Klan. If you Republican, boom, boom, Klan! The original mailing list for Tony Perkins's, what's the name of the damned outfit? American Family Association. He got his original telemarketing and mailing list. He bought them from David Duke. He bought them from the Klan. Ring, ring. Hello, Grand Wizard's house. Jesus. Really? No kidding. That's where the original mailing list came from the American Family Association. And, of course, they are part and parcel of... They're the organizers of Sunday Justice Sunday. And they're going... Oh, and it's being... You know why it's being held in Philadelphia, don't, of course you do. They're going to have Ricky Let's Go Play with a Fetus Santorum on the bill. What do you mean, Bob? Go play with a fetus? Yeah, you know that. Yeah, you know, the big Washington Post story a year or so ago, Ricky brought, they had a stillborn child, preemie, and Mr. and Mrs. Whacked Out of Their Minds Santorum brought the dead baby home and had their little infant children play with it. Yeah, really, really. And he's going to be there at Sunday Justice Sunday. He's going to be there at Sunday Justice Sunday, and they're holding it at Philadelphia because Rick Santorum is so far behind his Democrat opponent in early polling for the Senate seat this year. Wow, it's 2006, isn't it? He can't even see him. Casey is a speck in the distance, and Santorum, but wait, I'm your senator. I'm a godly man. Give me a fetus. I'll pet it. Yes, dear.
Who was it that called him crazy?
Oh, that was Don Imus, what, yesterday or today? Yeah, I love you, man, but you're insane.
When Imus calls you crazy, you know you're just not going to win.
Well, but then at the end, you're still behind me, aren't you, Imus? Yeah, sure I am. Give the guys Thorazine now, will you? No, that's why it's being held in Philadelphia, because they want to bring leverage to bear. You know, this is ostensibly about... good, godly, upstanding, earnest, strict constructualist Sammy Alito, Sammy Bad Breath. But it's also about shoring up the political future of Rick Sanctum Santorum. And, of course, you know that the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, who will be holding hearings on Alito, is Arlen Specter, also of Pennsylvania. And they're hoping to get that whole sweaty, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking gang of religious fundamentalists together and they're going to broadcast it across the fruited plain. And they hope to intimidate. Use the right word. Understand their goal. They hope to intimidate Arlen Specter. Because, remember, this is the crowd that does things like pray for people to die when they don't get their way. Yesterday, we had no small amount of conversation on Pat Robertson's declaration that God and not massive amounts of cholesterol and triglycerides and blood hemorrhages in the brain gave Ariel Sharon the stroke. See, Bob, you don't understand. God works in mysterious ways. God made that blood thin so it had hemorrhage in Ariel Sharon's brain because he divided God's land, so therefore God divided his brain. That's how these crazy, 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 crazy people think. And you're going to get 8, 10, 12 hours of it on Sunday with Sunday Justice Sunday Part 3. The insanity continues. And then you'll get the fun part. You're free to do this. They'll tell you, they will send you your Sunday Justice Sunday activity pack. Comes with everything but crayons. But if you call for it, they will tell you, as they told my lovely wife, well, I'm sorry. We want you to have our activity pack. It has some lovely book covers. They've got like Ten Commandments book covers that they send, you know, where you fold it around. You know, you're supposed to put your children's book, put it around your children's school books. So it looks like two tablets carved, two stone tablets carved by the living finger of God. Really, I'm not kidding. We got the package. So Agnes calls him and says, brother, I sure do want your activity kit for Sunday Justice Sunday. Well, praise Jesus, sister. We want you to have it, too. How much do you care to donate? And then the fun starts. Well, wait, you said it was free for the asking. Well, it is, but our work takes a lot of money to continue. This is a very costly process, bringing justice to America. How much can I put you down for, sister? Well, I'm poor, she says. Well, can I put you down for $10? Well, I can't get my medicine if you don't give me if I have to send you the $10. Sister, I can't send it to you less than I put you down for something. Well, put me down for $1 then. That'll be fine, sister. And you know, the thing that I've gotten to think of, you know, Sunday Justice Sunday and the American Family Association are probably ruining our credit now over that damn dollar. Yeah.
I didn't lie to them. When I told them I didn't have anything to send, I didn't have anything to send.
Well, no, but it wasn't like because you didn't have anything. It was because you'd die before you'd give them a damn nickel.
Well, that too, but, you know, trying to be strong-armed into giving someone money is like the mob coming after you. And is that,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Is that what they've turned into?
They have probably absolutely tanked our credit over that stinking dollar now.
Well, you know what? I hope that they come to the house to get it. And then I'm going to turn my children loose on them.
Don't we get to kneecap them?
No.
Doggone it. So that's what goes down Sunday. But watch it. I want you to see that. And the reason I'm suggesting you watch it, you know, I'm not afraid that any liberal, any Democrat, any progressive, any decent person, any intelligent person is going to be swayed by the stupidity of their position and their remarks, because we know going in that they're a bunch of freaking hypocrites. Okay, so that's not the reason I'm suggesting you have a look. I want you to watch Sunday Justice Sunday for one very good reason. I want you to know what it looks like to see the law of this nation flagrantly violated. I want you to see what a Republican can get away with that a Democrat literally can't. What do I mean by this? Well, what I mean by this is that, I mean, you know, don't you? You know that some weeks, months back, a minister in the pulpit in a liberal Christ-following church in California stood up and decried the evils of the Iraq War. And he said that, I believe he also remarked that George Bush's policies with regard to the budget cuts and where he was cutting the budget, that was equally manifest evil. And immediately, the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, was sicked on that church, and they, I don't know if it's finished or not, but at the time they were in dire proximity of losing their 501c3 tax exempt status because this preacher dared stand up and say that screwing the poor is not something that that Jesus would do, but George Bush would. Yeah, really. And again, the IRS was on him like dogs on a bone wagon. Now, tune in Sunday. What is it? TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network, where that the woman that makes Tammy Faye look like a fashion plate, Tilton. That's their outfit. TBN, I'm sure, will carry it. And you got to understand that the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, dirt-ignorant fundamentalists all across this country will be packing into mega churches all over the place to sit and listen and be told how Christians are being persecuted in America. Even though 80% of America says that it's Christian, they're being persecuted. Okay, gotcha. I want you to watch this, though, because it is going. There's not going to be anything Christian about what's going on here. This is the modern era's idea of a Nuremberg rally. That's exactly what this is. Because they're going to be sitting there in their little white bread churches and their little cracker mega churches, and they're all going to be all prettied up in their polyester, and the ministers and the gospel sharps are going to be striding back and forth across the stage, wearing condenser headset microphones that are barely visible to the naked eye on television and cost about $1,500 a piece. And the mega churches are going to have jumbotrons in them, just like a sports stadium, as a lineup of hate-filled fundamentalists does nothing but scream politics for, what, 8 hours? Nothing but politics. Now compare that. A man stands up in a church in California and says that it is immoral to put forward a budget that screws the poor and runs the risk of losing his tax-exempt status for his church. On the other hand, a bunch of hate-filled, demonic, right-wing fundamentalist religion industrialists stride the stage and scream nothing but right-wing politics for 8 solid hours, and the IRS sits back and says, well, isn't that charming? Selective enforcement is one word to describe that. Sure it is. The other thing, another word is hypocrisy. But when we're talking about it happening during a Bush administration, the key phrase is business as usual, baby. I want you to see it. Know it for what it is. And look, you know, go to a payphone, okay? Tell them that your name is D. Tracy, and you're calling to report the Sunday Justice Sunday broadcast for violation of their 501c3 status for advocating in behalf of a politician. Do it. God Almighty, don't do it from your own phone. Don't do it from your cell. Make sure you wear an overcoat and galoshes and a big fedora just like Jack Abramoff when you go to that phone booth. Big nose and glasses wouldn't hurt. You know, anything to put Agent Fred off the scent while you're calling in the complaint. But we have an opportunity because, you see, some right-wing thug ratted out that church in California. Now, do I want to get down and be as nasty and hateful as them? No, I don't want to. But I, you know, I grew up, I was a kid, for God's sakes. I was going to say I grew up in the South. No, this ain't South, North, East, West. This isn't regional. I was a kid. I know how bullies behave. And this is how bullies behave. And if we do not, as liberals and as progressives, stand up right in their face and bloody their damned noses all over it, before they get a chance to swing at us, we're done. So, yeah, get your trench coat and your big nose and glasses and your Jack Abramoff fedora and your galoshes and go to the nearest phone booth down at the 7-Eleven or whatever and call the IRS and turn these bastards in. I feel kind of funny when I start giving marching orders, and I apologize for that. And I certainly have, none of my business. I'm not sitting here trying to tell you how to change the world, but you know what? I do still hang on to a few of those tenets that they handed me in civics class in ninth grade and American history class in fourth grade about how this here is a nation of laws. And I intend to at least pretend that they weren't pulling my leg when they said that. So I'll be making my call to the IRS. What you do is your business. And really, I won't be making that call from head-on's phones or from the home phone here. I know where there's a payphone, and I'm going to use it. If I have to sit there and pump nickels or pump quarters into it till hell won't hold me, I'll make that call. If you want to help out, good on you, and I hope you will. Because this is the equivalent of standing up and punching the bully in the nose. If you're as sick as I am of these stupid, hateful broadcasts, then drop the quarter on them. Drop the 50 cents. Do it. Act like, you know, be a participant in this republic. These people are flagrantly violating the law. Every minister who appears on that stage should have his church's 501c3 designation revoked. Period. Now, if I had my way, I'd tax every church in the country to begin with. Because if it's good enough for me to pay, it's good enough for everybody to pay. But, you know, that's me. But as long as we have a system that says that churches are exempt from taxation because, among other things, they are not political creatures, as long as we have that system and we have that system being actively flouted and flaunted by the likes of Jerry Falwell and Robertson and James Dobson and, let's see if we can, who else? All these cretins. As long as this is going on and we tolerate it, then we can't complain about it. If you want to see the laws of this country applied, then you would be well to file the complaint. Because you know what? They will happily do it to us. You know, there's a show that begins, and I'll probably never see it, on NBC this evening, called The Book of Daniel. And it's about an Episcopal priest. It's a family drama. It's about an Episcopal priest, and he's, like, got a meth problem or something. I don't know. But he's got some sort of the drug dependency, and his family goes through all kinds of troubles. You know, it sounds to me a little bit like, you know, Falcon Crest at the parsonage. But that's not the point. I don't go in for that kind of stuff. You know, other people may. But the right-wing Christian knuckle walkers and mouth breathers are already out there. This ain't a story about a real minister. These are not portrayals. You know, I saw some stupid blonde-headed bimbo woman. Sorry, sexist. What am I doing? This is not going to be the real Christ that they are portraying. This is going to be some sort of tolerant Christ.
who will tolerate sin and perverted lifestyles. And it will once again cast Christians in a negative light. No kidding, I saw it today. You know, I was expecting, you know, Pastor Whackbottom to show up on the interview saying, yeah, these are clearly not real Christians. Why, there ain't no strychnine drinking, there ain't no snake handling, ain't nobody wallering on the floor and are getting touched in the spirit. That's what these are activists. They talk about activist judges. These are activist religious fascists. You know, L. Brent Bozell III, and his media watchdog organization files 99.5% of all FCC complaints that the FCC receives every year, and they're all. He said, "Booger." At 8:03 p.m., I was watching the show, and he said, "Booger." And we sit back and we go, oh, mercy, these poor, silly, ignorant people. It's time to stop sitting back. It's time to punch them in the face, metaphorically speaking. Can we do that? I don't know. But it's damn sure worth a try. Now, all this started out talking about Sunday Justice Sunday, and a large part of Sunday Justice Sunday is about Sammy Alito. Sammy Bad Breath. I've got an addition to the Sammy Bad Breath file when we come back. You're going to want to be here, and you might even want to sound off on it. The phone number is 877, the number 4, head on. Learn it, know it, use it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Scruff, get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Just something when together and we started talking. Cousin Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Everything is alright. He kissed and told me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour. One down, two to go on this Friday evening. I'm Bob. This is Head On. The phone number is 877-4, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. If you want to jump in and frolic about and enjoy sort of poking a finger in the eye of the Republicans and the right wing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. See, I'm poking. If we only had a webcam like Flush Flimball does, you could see me with my little index finger just poking, poking, poking. What we do. And you know what? When you work up the gumption to do it, it feels mighty good. It does indeed. I don't know if you heard that little sound clip there from the movie Pulp Fiction from the book of Ezekiel. It's a little known fact that Pat Robertson actually did the voiceover work for Sam Jackson for that particular segment. And I will smite thee, with great smiting. Yes! Let's go to, we're going to talk about Judge Sammy Bad Breath. We've got another little update for you. This guy really is a pervert, okay? And I want to share it with you, but I hate to keep people on hold. Let's go to Gene in Oregon. Hey Gene, you're head on.
Hey Bob.
How you doing?
Okay. Just real quick, I emailed you and I kind of said that, you know, on that thing I looked back on the archives for that Walmart thing. It's gone.
Oh yeah.
It's
so scrubbed.
Yeah, it's been memory holes. The other thing I had a question on that China thing about the diversifying their overseas holdings or whatever. You know, you talk about the depression and all that jazz, and that's pretty bad. But what really scares me more than anything else is, you know, the right wing's going to try to blame us for this all this crap.
How, Gene?
Oh, I don't know, but they'll figure something out.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. You know, I don't know if it's because they're ahead of the curve on us, or if it's because we're just not quite as bug-sprayed, insane, crazy as they are. But yeah, and it's not just us, Gene. It's Bill Clinton's fault.
Of course it is. But, you know, when things get that bad, I can hear Blush just say, hey, it's time to lock them up.
Yeah. Well, no, hey, I just figured it out, Gene. I'm so glad you brought it up. I figured out how it's Bill Clinton's fault.
Okay.
If Bill Clinton hadn't done such a magnificent job managing the budget and left us with a surplus instead of, if he had left office with a great big honking deficit, why, George Bush never could have run this one up.
Oh, wow. Maybe you're right.
Oh, God. I've been reading too much right-wing garbage, Gene. Maybe it is a good thing the weekend's coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll catch you later. I just wanted to go there and...
Well, I appreciate it. You have yourself a great weekend, Gene, and thanks for everything.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, if the Walmart site now, if you go and look for Planet of the Apes, it'll say that if you liked Planet of the Apes, you'll probably also like Everybody Loves Raymond and Friends. They just never stop. We went from African Americans being like apes to Italian Americans being like apes. Who's next? I don't know. Let's go back to the phones. Nanette is with us. Hey, Nanette, you're head on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. You?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I was watching CNN today, and they had a story on there that disturbed me.
Uh-huh. What?
And, well, the doctor that's on CNN, that Sanjay Gupta,
yeah,
came down and interviewed a doctor that was on scene at that mine. And he was inside the mine, and he checked out the McCloy fella and sent him on out, and they were going to go on in and check the other 12.
Mm-hmm.
Well, evidently, they met another crew coming out. And they said, where are you going? And the doctor told me, I'm going and check those men. And they said, why? He said, because I need to, you know. And they said, they're dead. He said, well, how do you know they're dead? He said, well, they don't have a pulse. He said, that doesn't mean anything. You know, they could be so low with hypothermia and stuff, they couldn't detect it.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, they wouldn't let him go in there.
You're kidding.
No. And then the next crew come up and said, the director said, for everybody out of the mine. They left those men in there till the next day.
No, you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. It was on CNN.
Oh, my God.
They left? Wait. They
didn't extract the men's bodies till after 10 o'clock the next morning.
You mean after the celebration and after the screw-up and after the we're sorry they were dead after all, they left them in there until the next day?
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, I sat up all night and up the next morning, and they didn't take the men's bodies out till after 10.
Dear God in heaven.
So, you know, it's just like the doctors were talking between each other. They can't verify that the men were dead. There has to be a person that has a medical background to declare someone dead. They didn't have that.
If I'm not mistaken, in the state of West Virginia, either a medical examiner or a coroner, and the coroner has to be, it doesn't have to be a physician, but it has to be a coroner, a physician, or a medical examiner in order to make a formal declaration of death.
Right, and they didn't have any of it. They just had the rescue team.
And left them lay in that hole?
Yes, they did. And I couldn't figure that out all along. I thought, why are they leaving them in there so long? What's it taking so long to get them out?
But so many answers are coming together, and you and a lot of the other folks at Cold River Mountain Watch were very helpful in this regard, and Vivian over at OVAC. We know now that that International Coal Group is nothing but a shell company for some sort of sleazy clone of Massey Energy, isn't it?
That's exactly right. So many of the people that's high up in that organization can't cut their teeth from Massey.
Yeah, well, Bennett Hatfield himself, the so-called president and CEO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, the $2 million trust fund that's been set up,
please.
That didn't come out of Wilbur Ross's pocket. He's admitted as much, hasn't he?
I don't know, but I tell you what, that just galled me whenever he come out and said that. You know, I just couldn't hardly take it. I thought, here you are, a billionaire, and you're willing to put up $2 million. You know, and then he asked the public to chip in.
And the public is behaving like good little chumps and doing so in large part, I understand.
I
think someone should contact this radio station down in Charleston and let them know that some of us are wised up to it.
I'll tell you what, a lot of us have wised up to it. A lot of us have. And my question is this, too. What kind of stipulations are they going to put on these families if they take that money?
Well, that's a very good point, Nanette, because I can't say for sure. Someone with greater knowledge than me could probably speak to it. But if I think the chances of anyone successfully suing this coal company because of the workers' comp immunity is very, very unlikely. But if they did succeed and got a jury verdict against ICG, then the next thing that you would find out is that any monies received through this trust fund would be credited against a jury verdict entered against ICG.
Well, what I thought, too, if they take this money, they would probably have to sign papers that they wouldn't sue, they wouldn't talk bad about the company, and on down the line.
Well, and with disasters, that's probably not unlikely, because if you remember what happened after 9/11, weren't the families required to sign a waiver promising
they
wouldn't sue?
That's exactly right. That's where I'm getting this from. I think back, and I'm thinking, okay, if I was a family member, I wouldn't take that money. If it came from another organization, like a church or somebody taking that money, yeah. But not from that company, I wouldn't.
Uh-uh. No way. That's blood money.
That's exactly right. And it just, you know, but this whole thing is just bizarre.
Well, it's dirty. And the thing is, we know now, Nanette, you remember back when if we complained about the tax cuts for the rich, the right would say, well, that's class warfare. You remember that?
Yes.
Well, it turns out it was class warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a war they were waging on us.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, they fired the shots. I saw the editorial in the Gazette this morning. How many $1 million has been cut from the MSHA budget because George Bush had to give a tax cut to his cronies?
That's for sure. And not only that, the enforcement. The
right.
Enforcement is just so lax. It's just terrible, you know. And another thing, I this has been going through my mind. They said the director said to get out of mind. What director? Who are they talking about?
Yeah.
Who told him to get out? Was it the mine officials? Was it MSHA? Who?
Well, you know, MSHA was on scene, and if you think back to the Cue Creek disaster in Pennsylvania in, what, 03? There were MSHA public affairs officials who handled every bit of the dissemination of information.
Well, now they
and they were muzzled on this one.
Yeah, the company took over with the information bit, and boy, didn't they flop.
Sure, and you see, that's that you know that's more of this sickening right-wing philosophy, Nanette, the idea that business can always do it better than the government can.
Yeah, boy, yeah. I tell you what, this whole thing is just, I'm just furious. I'm sorry.
No, don't, please. No. The last thing you ought to be doing is apologizing for your fury, Nanette. We need a few more furious people. I've said for the last couple of nights that there's no difference between now and 1906. And you know what? I was wrong. Because in 1906, people were willing to go to war.
Absolutely.
Over working conditions. They were willing to fight and die. And it's not 1906 because we are not. We are a cowed people who will very few of us have the nerve to stand on our own hind legs and demand to be treated like human beings.
Well, I was sorry. I didn't mean to vent on you.
No. No. Believe me, this is a place for venting.
Uh-huh.
Don't ever apologize for that, Nanette, because that is what this is for. We have to live with these right-wing freaks day in and day out. We're deluged by them on the television, on the radio, and if I can provide one safe haven where decent, progressive human beings can stand up and be heard and say that they're not going to tolerate this outrage anymore, then I'm doing the best thing I could possibly be doing with my time.
We appreciate that, too. We really do. But one thing I want to put out to everybody, the listeners and all, we just can't let this go into the background. We've got to keep this up front and keep our eye on it.
Absolutely.
Because if we don't, they're going to shove it under the rug. We're going to have to hold them to it.
And if we don't keep it out there, Nanette, the other thing is, it's going to happen again.
That's exactly right.
We know now what a Widowmaker Sago number one is. How many other Widowmakers does International Coal Group control?
Probably a lot.
I know they've got mines in Indiana. They've got mines in Illinois. It's not just West Virginia. And when they start blowing up, if we have been silent about it, we will be complicit in the process.
That's exactly right. I can't handle having that on my conscience. I mean, I haven't slept in ages. I mean, this is driving me crazy. I'm thinking about those families and what they're going through, and it breaks my heart.
Well, you know,
and it makes me mad the way these companies. That Hatfield, you know, was talking about how profitable their company was and they was going to get on with business. And
yeah.
I mean, the guy, this is my take on it. The guys are dead. Forget it. We're going about our business.
Yeah. We're going to get that mine open and producing as quick as we possibly can when the thing ought to be dynamited shut and put down like a mad dog.
Oh, I tell you, I was furious when he said, I thought the guys are dead, the families are grieving, and all you think about is the profit.
And the company's going to be in good shape, and we're hoping the folks that enjoy the business will come back to it. Oh, yeah, I wanted to scream, too.
So you saw it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, that was the middle-of-the-night press conference.
Mm-hmm. Now I know.
And, of course, we know it was all done after 11 o'clock because that's when the news cycle shuts down, Nanette.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I sit there and watch that. I was furious. I thought, God, you know, this is awful. And here you're talking about your profits.
Well, I felt manipulated. I mean, and if I felt that way, God Almighty, the poor families, you know, to sit there and be told and to be allowed to celebrate and you know, praise God and do everything that they did, mm-hmm. to be allowed to do that for 2 hours and 40 minutes, that the company knew that it was all a lie?
I don't know. I'm just at a loss. Like I said, it's bizarre. I agree with that state trooper that they interviewed after that. He said this is the most bizarre thing he'd ever seen.
Agnes wants to chime in here.
Okay.
Nanette,
mm-hmm.
I know that you know quite a bit about nursing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, the doctor was right. Somebody that's medically trained needs to go in there and check for pulses,
mm-hmm.
Just for basic vitals. And a bunch of people coming out saying, no, they're dead, too. How do they know that they were dead? I mean, this young man made it out. He's brain damaged.
Well, that's just the whole point. You know, just like with hypothermia and things, your heart rate can go down to a, you know.
To barely a beat.
Right.
Yeah, and the man that survived had a hole in his lung.
Mm-hmm.
If they left them down there all night long.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
So you see what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I've been getting at.
What did they do with the hearses while they were there?
I have no idea.
I mean, because when they finally came,
one ambulance left.
When they had
the McCoy boy in it,
right?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
When they were facing the music and having to tell the families this is what's going on, I can remember one family member looking up and saying, "Well, you know, we saw some hearses coming in, but we didn't know what to think."
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did they do with those all night long?
I have no idea, but I know I was watching CNN, and they said the bodies was extracted about 10:30 in the morning.
Well, I surely hope those families know that we're thinking of them.
I'm sure they do.
I hope the company doesn't get by with it. You know, they're callous. They are no...
He's going and standing in the street. We're going to do it.
Well, they're no better than the thug bosses that used to be around.
They're not.
You know, and we can't tolerate it anymore.
Well, it is worth remembering, though, Nanette, and I hope this can get a little bit of traction. Tell your friends, or at least remind them. They probably don't need any reminding. But the fact of the matter is, Democrats and Republicans alike in this state have absolutely busted their rear ends to make sure that when something like this happens, it is harder and harder and harder for a person to collect against workers' compensation.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
And they deserve to find out what we think about that at the ballot box.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like I said, I think there was a little, you know, I hate to refer to irony, but there was a little bit of irony involved in this. Joe Manchin's brand new privatized workers' compensation system hit the streets on January 1. This happened on January 2, and what a horrible screw-in they gave the families with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just anxious to see what they do with the McCoy boy, because I know he'll never be able to return to normal life.
Well, that's the other thing. He'll also...
Will they grant him compensation because it's been in the news?
It will be
somebody else.
It will be almost impossible for him to get permanent and total disability out of this.
Mm.
I mean, you know what folks have gone through who worked under the more lax standards.
I know exactly. I've been through it.
If this young man can manage to still say his name, they're going to swear that he's capable of, you know, I mean, and you know how it goes. They'll say, well, he can't go back to the mines, but he can go to sedentary labor. He could be a parking lot attendant.
No, it depends on whether he's got mind enough to know how to park a car.
Yeah, but you got to understand, the company's already,
yeah.
The company, and people, I've gotten emails, Nanette, people think that I'm blowing smoke when I say that the company already has their lawyers working on this case. The company already has lawyers working on the case, and the lawyers are already identifying their occupational experts who, if this young man never gets out of bed, they will swear that he is capable of gainful employment.
Absolutely.
That's how they operate. You know that. I mean,
well,
I'm not telling you anything.
$1,000 to keep you from getting 10.
Exactly.
They don't care.
There have been cases in this state taken to the Supreme Court of Appeals by a coal company over as little as a single prescription. I have friends who have told me about coal companies that have literally spent $100,000 to stop a $200 prescription.
I don't doubt it. Not one bit. Not one bit.
None of those lawyers are ever held to account. You know, if somebody gets hurt in a car wreck and has to sue their insurance company, we will turn the entire state upside down to protect that insurance company just like we did last year. On the other hand, there is no, you know, you hear about frivolous lawsuits. You never hear about the frivolity in workers' compensation. There is not a single rule in place in West Virginia that compels a company lawyer to behave in good faith in their defense of the company comp claim.
Yep.
Not one.
Oh.
So, you know, they fixed workers' comp. We need to fix them.
Yep. We need to remember it. We need to remember it.
Well, fortunately, yeah, this is an election year, and we don't have a very long time that we have to remember. I hope there are some people who know how to stand up for working people who will actually run for office in this state and get rid of some of these coal company prostitutes.
Well, until we get a clean election bill passed,
yeah,
that's going to be hard to do.
But there's a chance for that pilot project to take off this year,
mm-hmm.
and I hope it does.
Yeah. Yep. There have been a lot of years and a lot of work gone into that.
Absolutely. And I hope and nobody's given up now. Nanette, so good to hear from you. And thank you for the story about that doctor. My God, if anybody has any follow-up on that, I'd love to see that.
Well, I think we're going to have more on later tonight. I'm not sure.
What, maybe on Anderson Cooper?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, maybe I'll get to watch.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Nanette, and you have a wonderful weekend, and my best to your family.
Okay, same to you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Wow. I can scarcely believe that. But yet, Nanette is rock solid on her information, and she makes a point of being that way. You okay with that? Or does it turn your stomach like it does Agnes and me? They left those poor men in that god-awful hole all night long. You wonder if the families know. The families deserve to know. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. It's time for the bottom of the hour Cup of Joe report for this Friday evening. Let's take a break. This is Head On.
Down in the river,
I'm Bob Kincaid.
Pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll, supposedly they say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, do they, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Unity isn't the only weapon we working people have to defend ourselves against corporate power. The other weapon is the ballot box. There is only one institution powerful enough to fight corporations, and that's the federal government, and that because the law is backed up by physical force. When corporations seek control of the federal government, they do so because they want to use that force for their own profit or agendas. And since raising and supplying an army is too great an expense even for the richest of corporations, it's cheaper for them to control the government that controls the army. The Republican leadership, which is just a front for corporate power, is using Diebold electronic voting machines to prevent us from using the power of the government to protect ourselves. Because no matter how good or persistent your propaganda is, getting large groups of people to go along with policies that make their lives miserable isn't easy, especially if those policies prove to be fatal. So it's easier for them to be the ones that count the votes. Stalin would be proud. A democratic society operates on a balance of power between free government, free enterprise, and a free press. All of these play an important role in our daily lives. But what's happening today is that corporate power is attempting, and mostly succeeding, in taking over the government and the media. By demanding an accurate and accountable count of the votes, we have a chance to regain some of that balance. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. 27 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through this Friday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone numbers. 877-443-2366. That's 877, the number 4, Head On. And you're free to jump in if the spirit moves you. Now, this ties in rather nicely. I like the way you guys can keep things flowing and keep things moving and make the next thing coming down the road make a little more sense. Nanette was talking about the horrors, and it should stay in the forefront of our memories, the horrors that were foisted upon the workers there at Sago Number 1, the Katrina Mine, as I like to call it. Now we know that those 11 miners were left dead in that god-awful death hole until the next morning. And there's no explanation for it. And, we're focused on the fact that this happened in a West Virginia coal mine. West Virginia would react with similar horror if the mine that it happened in was in Pennsylvania or Indiana or anywhere, Alabama. Absolutely. But it's not just the coal industry. In the course of the nightmare that is the Bush administration, that is the Bush presidency, if you can besmirch that word with whatever Bush is doing in the White House, it's more than that. Now, we talked at some length in the last hour about Sunday, Justice Sunday coming up, where a whole bunch of churches are going to spit all over the laws of the United States of America and flaunt their ability to be above the law with this religious broadcast about Samuel Alito and advancing the political fortunes of Rick Santorum. Sammy Alito, Sammy Bad Breath, Sammy Mulito. He's a thug. And as it turns out, I'm getting more and more to the way of thinking that he's also a real sick bastard. I mean, clinically diagnostic and statistical manual fourth edition sick. What makes me think that? It's a case that he was involved in as a judge called Kenneth Piroli. Kenneth Piroli, P-I-R-O-L-L-I, versus World Flavors Incorporated, World Flavors, Inc. And, you know, so many of these cases come up, and it's not, you know, it's not some guy saying, oh, they're not paying me enough. Now, that's the way the right wing will always paint any sort of labor disagreement. Well, that's just more of them greedy workers. You know? Sure. But seldom, if ever, is that actually the case. Kenneth Piroli is a mentally retarded man. And he was working he had a job that he was able to do. And the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission interceded on Mr. Piroli's behalf. And in so intervening, they noted that Mr. Piroli, again, a mentally retarded individual, all right? I'm not labeling, I'm not, no. The facts are what the facts are. So, he's at work, and he was complaining about a hostile work environment. How hostile? Well, he complained and presented evidence, this is a quote from the EEOC's brief. If you go to EEOC.gov and look up the brief, Piroli, just search for Piroli, P-I-R-O-L-L-I. The EEOC notes that he presented, quote, evidence that another one of Piroli's co-workers, Harley Strauss, attempted to push a broom pole into Piroli's behind as other staff watched. Now, maybe Brother Lonnie Latham from the South Tulsa Baptist Church would enjoy that sort of activities, but poor Mr. Piroli didn't. And he sued. Now, what does Sammy Bad Breath have to do with any of this? Why do I think that Sammy Bad Breath may very well be a genuine predatory sexual pervert? Well, you know, start off with the fact that he gives the cops a pass to strip search 10-year-old girls. I mean, it is what it is. And the thing, you know, there's such gentlemen and gentle ladies in the Senate Judiciary Committee, nobody will ever point blank ask him, Judge Alito, what in the hell is wrong with you? How dare you? How dare you give the cops a pass to strip search a little 10-year-old girl with or without a warrant? How dare you, sir? Have you no shame, sir? Nope, not gonna do it. It'll be done in Congress speak. Judge Alito, could you possibly give us your impressions of why it was that you felt like it was permissible within the constitutional scope of ramifications to therefore, heretofore, wheretofore, why before strip search 10-year-old girls? That don't cut it. The American people, this man needs to be confronted with the horrors of his actions, because this man is an activist judge. You're going to hear that phrase if you can take your anti-emetics and mainline a bottle of Pepto-Bismol Sunday and sit down and watch a little bit of this horror show that they're going to put across the up on the satellite and bounce back down to mega churches all over America. If you can sit and watch it, you're going to hear the activist judges, pass me that. And had me swig a strychnine in a little bit. Activist judges. Woohoo! Look, the walls are melting.
You're going to hear all kinds of stuff about activist judges, but in point of fact, the activist judge in this particular instance is Sammy Bad Breath. Sammy Bad Breath is as activist as they come because, you know, as a parent, and especially a parent of little girls, any judge who says it's okay to strip them, you know, my God, you're getting into deliverance here. You know, panties too, panties too. Any judge who says that it's okay to strip my little girl, have to get through me and Agnes first and leave us dead on the floor. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Strip searching, having to watch your little girl strip searched. Can you imagine? Yeah, it's one of those Robert De Niro moments from the Untouchables. You like baseball? I like baseball. Whack! Mm-hmm. So what's this got to do with Paroli versus World Flavors, Inc.? So you know that Paroli, one of Paroli's co-employees tried to sodomize him with a broom handle. Wait, where are we? Oh, Abu Ghraib. We know that one of Paroli's co-employees tried to sodomize him with a broom handle. All right? Now, how did Sammy Bad Breath react as a judge? Sammy Bad Breath heard this case. Quote, Paroli's brief never asserts that his work environment was one that a reasonable non-retarded person would find hostile or abusive. You get that? You get that? This sick damn pervert, Alito, and my apologies to the nice perverts out there, God almighty,
so sodomy is okay?
Only with a broom handle and only if you're retarded, because according to Sammy Alito, he never asserts that his work environment was one that a reasonable non-retarded person would find hostile or abusive. In other words, honest to God, Sammy Bad Breath says that a non-retarded, reasonable individual would like to be sodomized with a broom handle. What in the hell goes on when the lights go off at your house, Sam?
They don't even let that go on in prison anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
Abu Ghraib.
Well, I'm not talking about there. I'm talking about here, because the inmates are closely watched. I don't care who you are. You really don't want that.
Never mind the inmates. This guy says, A, it's okay to strip search little 10-year-old girls, and B, the reasonable non-retarded employee enjoys a good buggering with a broom handle.
Maybe.
How about you, Sam?
Well, I started to say maybe that's something that it's just going around in his mind or something. You know what I mean?
What are we supposed to make of this? And what are we supposed to make of Rick Santorum?
Judge Alito is a fine and upright man.
Yeah, he's upright, all right. You getting this? I mean, I'm not making this up. Go read the case for yourself. Read the quote. Paroli's brief never asserts that his work environment was one that a reasonable, non-retarded person would find hostile or abusive. Bring me the broom handle, honey. It's fun time. Oh, I don't want to go to dinner at the Alito home. I just don't want to go. You know, we played the little bit from Pulp Fiction earlier. I mean, this is tennis ball in the mouth and duct tape. Oh, you know, fun time at Sammy Alito's house. Ooh, what a bath. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
When did the broom handle replace the shish kebab is what I want to know.
Oh, yeah, you're doing it again.
At Robertson area, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, that's why the coal mine thing happened, because Sammy didn't come to Pat's house and pay penance.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. Did you see the pictures I sent you?
The
porta potty set up for the press.
Yeah. Yeah,
the $80,000, $100,000 vehicles.
Right.
They have their own porta potties.
Good for them.
Good for them. Yeah, at least they get rid of it and don't ride it.
Yeah, it's good to be the media.
Let them in there all night.
Yeah, all night.
So that's what strip search is. I guess, you know, they're already dead. You go through their pockets. You don't find anything. And around 10:30, lunch time, brunch time, you let them out.
It's heartrending. And this business about they left notes. I am so jaded and so cynical at this point and so untrusting of this coal company, Chris, that I have doubts as to whether those notes are real.
I do, too. That's the first thing I thought. That was the very first thing I thought. I know these guys were disoriented, but I think they could have put a full word together.
Well, it's not just that. It's so happy. You know,
yeah.
You know, we just went to sleep. You know, when carbon monoxide poisoning sets in, you're not real sane.
Well, carbon monoxide, the first thing they started mentioning, that is an unbelievably and extremely sensitive point with me, because my brother was teaching in West Memphis, Arkansas at the time, and one of his students, we never found out who, messed with his car. And right outside of Cherokee, Barton area, you know where I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He was so out of it, he didn't know where he was. So he stopped at a little convenience store in Barton. And the guy there thought my brother was drunk. My brother just passed out. So we finally called the police, and they said, yeah, he's just drunk. Well, they figured out, they called the ambulance. He had carbon monoxide poisoning. Somebody had stuffed something up the tailpipe of his car.
Hmm.
So he was, what, about 10, 15 minutes away from death?
Was he okay after all? I mean,
yeah, he was finally okay. But, somebody tried to kill him. It was carbon monoxide poisoning. And I can tell you firsthand what somebody that suffered from that looks like, and it's not pretty. I mean, he was white as a sheet.
And he wasn't writing any notes.
No, he couldn't have wrote a note.
And see,
that was just a couple hours.
One of the things we find out, or one of the things, the other things we have to ponder out of this, Chris, is how, you know, what was their time of death? How long did they live waiting for the rescue that never came? We know now that the coal company called MSHA and the State Office of Miner Safety and Health before they called 911. We know that the rescue crews didn't even make an attempt.
Well,
here's another little thing that is seldom mentioned. Coal companies can have rescue crews on standby 24/7.
Yeah.
It costs money to pay a guy to sit around and wait for, you know, a disaster to strike.
Well, I have a couple of things.
But this company wouldn't pay for that.
Where was the media attention in Libby, Montana?
Yeah.
Where maybe all the people in the country that are seeing this going, oh, gee, isn't that terrible? Realize that this has been happening for how long?
The media is very, you know, and to a certain extent, I'm glad they were there to shine a little bit of light on all of this hateful duplicity and mendacity on the part of the coal company. But
well,
another
they caught it firsthand. I mean, there was no denying this.
But on the other hand, you know, the local, the statewide newspaper, the Gazette, which I generally like and agree with a good deal of. You know, they're doing their hand-wringing right now about where was MSHA and why was MSHA's budget cut, blah, 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 blah. Well, I have another question, and I think it's only fair to ask it, and that is, why is it that we only pay attention to this when a disaster strikes? Now, it's
exactly, exactly.
It's low, and it's slow, and it's grunt work, and it's dull, but do you think the first thing that would prevent this kind of horror, in large part, is having union miners on the job and having the union mines.
Well,
that's step one.
Mentioned. It finally got mentioned in the Situation Room. The
yeah.
head of the mine work.
Yeah, it was Wednesday when it was finally mentioned
It was finally mentioned, and Wolf was the first one to mention it.
Yeah.
So why couldn't they have mentioned that before? Agnes, I got a question for you. When something like this happens to these guys, they'll do a maybe they'll do an autopsy on the guys that that didn't make it or not.
Yeah, they're doing autopsies now, Chris.
Well, who's going to? I'm like you. I'm so jaded. Who's going to do it?
The state medical examiner's office.
Okay, good.
Down in South Charleston. But the point that I was making, sorry, I didn't mean to horn in on Agnes there. The point that I was making is that the media bears some responsibility, and in particular our in-state newspapers and the in-state newspaper of anywhere that there are coal mines. And what you do is, let's see, what is it? The Fairmont Times West Virginian, I believe, is the paper that would be nearest to that Sago mine. Do you think it would, it would probably cost them maybe an extra $25 a week to print a rolling list every week, print a list of every mine safety infraction that has been cited at every mine within the reading area of the newspaper.
And every person that got damaged or got hurt or killed or whatever. I emailed you about the mine they have close to here in Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the workers that are there have been transferred by International from West Virginia down to there.
Really?
And
International Coal Group owns that mine?
Yeah.
How about the one that exploded back in 2001, Jim Walter number 5 that killed
I don't know.
13 miners.
I'll look into it. But he was talking about, yeah, they had transferred down here, and he was giving his thoughts on it. But he was really guarded on what he was saying. And as I wrote you, it's not like Channel 19 News in Huntsville. It's going to be picked up by anybody, national news or whatever. But this is just a local station, how many miles away, and he's still being guarded by what he says.
Well, sure. I mean, and there's not that much, it's not that hard to comprehend. I've got a story here, oddly enough, from Richard Mellon-Scaife's bizarre little right-wing rag, the Pittsburgh Tribune Review.
Well, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, but it says the headline: ex-miner recalls Sago, it was a hellhole. And I'm not going to mention the guy's name because it apparently makes him really nervous. I mean, it's published, but I'm not going to mention it. But he said, when I worked there, it was a hellhole. On my first day there, it took me 20 minutes to know that I screwed up by taking that job. It was suicide to walk in that pit mouth. It was dangerous, and I knew that mine was not going to make it. But even so, the article goes on to say that when he went to the Sago Baptist Church with relatives Thursday, that he wouldn't identify the relatives for fear that what he says in this article will come back to haunt the miners and their families if the company gets wind of it.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. The word reprisal comes to mind.
Yeah, reprisal, vendetta.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing nice about International Coal Group. I mean, maybe Bennett Hatfield's wife and kids love him, but very few other people. Because there's nothing to love about a man who will ignore safety violations that rise to the level of being lethal. There's nothing to love about a man who will do that and still send men in and say, the money you make me is more important than your life.
No, it's like Kyle was telling me. You know Kyle.
Yeah.
And Kyle's mom was telling him not long back that the way she sees things today, she's in her 80s, she lived through the Depression, and she says things are worse now. Well, you're talking about going back to 1906. Well, really, not a lot has changed.
Well, but like I told Nanette, Chris, a lot has changed because in 1906, working people were willing to stand up and fight.
Well, yes, that is the difference. You're right. That is the difference.
Now, working people say, I don't want to join that union. That might cost me 15 cents on the 15 cents on my next paycheck. I don't need no union.
Oh, when I worked for Kroger in Atlanta years ago, long time ago, I worked for Kroger and they were union. And let me tell you, if you've ever worked union before, it is a drastic difference. Because I worked for union for Kroger, and then I moved back to Alabama and started working for Walmart. That's the difference between living and dying.
Yeah. Well, when you're union, if they tell you to do something unsafe, you can say no.
I made more money paying my dues and working because they had made sure that it was a good working place.
Yeah.
You got everything you're supposed to get. I made, and from what I made there and came back to work for Walmart, I made almost four times that in Kroger.
Yeah.
And of course, that's, and I was looked after.
That's the reason that Walmart is gunning for Kroger for all they're worth, because every year that Kroger continues to stay alive is another year that Walmart is terrified that some employee at Walmart might stand up on their hind legs and demand to be treated like a human being.
Well, when my dad was in regional VP with Walmart, I don't know how many times people tried that, and they would come in there, and they would say, in the middle of the day, they would run all the customers out of the store. They would get all the employees together and say, clean out your lockers. And you would have like 20, 30 minutes, and they would padlock that door, get in their car, and drive off.
Oh, yeah.
Just as simple as that.
Well, I mean, in Bentonville, Arkansas, they literally have a Gulfstream 5 jet sitting, waiting at a moment's notice, and an entire team of lawyers and other hateful individuals ready to fly off to any Walmart where any human being stands up and says, I would like to have a group by which I could bargain with the company.
Actually, that plane's in Fayetteville.
Well, okay. I'll give you
Fayetteville. It is. Trust me. I've seen it. I've been in the home office before. Trust me. I know. It's amazing. Oh, that's another call.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk off the air about that.
All right. Well, we got to hit it, Chris.
I'm lighting the net. I'll get too mad.
All right. Take care.
Take care, man.
Bye now. Another hour yet to go. Your phone calls are more than welcome. 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Who am I? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
with all the people. These were the very words he said. I went down to St. James Infirmary.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, 5 minutes after the hour, and time to take it home. 55 minutes to go. You got something on your mind? Get it said, or you got to hold it for 2 days, and that hurts. Trust me, I know. Saturday and Sunday are hell for me. Now, a program note, by the way. Our good friends John and Bruce will be bringing you all things, the Fourth Estate, Saturday night. See, I'm about bass-ackwards. John and Bruce will be bringing you Fourth Estate Radio Saturday night, 10 o'clock. fourthestateradio.com. And then Bruce Birch, our good friend, All Things Reconsidered, Sunday night at 10. I'm a bear of very small brain. You have to bear with me. Couple of emails to bob@headonradio.com from our good friend Sue on Big Coal River. I bet there will be more born-again Christians watching the Book of Daniel than would watch the Ten Commandments if it was on. They love that sort of thing. I heard the same thing Nanette did about the miners with the doctor. I've said all along that something was rotten about this whole thing. There is no way a company would let the families believe their loved ones were alive because it would be too much bad publicity. So they risked bad publicity because they had something really ugly to hide. My husband's worked in the mines 33 years, and he said it is possible that lightning caused the explosion, but not probable, because every mine is supposed to have something in place to prevent that kind of lightning strike. And this from a new friend of the show, Joe, in Iowa. He says, hey there, I come from a Christian family. We believed and still do in helping the less fortunate, not judging others by race, color, creed, monogamy, the Ten Commandments, etc., etc. Are we perfect? No, we're not, but I freely admit it. And I occasionally should make clear, and Agnes reminds me from time to time, when I go on and on, I try to call them the religion industry, because there's nothing Christian about the Falwells and Robertsons and Dobsons and Kennedys and all those filthy freaks. They're not Christians. They have about as much to do with the message of Yeshua, the Palestinian carpenter, as a hog does with a Sunday suit. So that's why I call them the religion industry. The goal of an industry is to make money and produce a product. And that's what those marketing geniuses with the little lapel crosses on their lapels do. They don't minister to anybody. Do you honestly think that Jerry Falwell would go into the bad part of town and deliver a box of food to a hungry family? If you do, you must have eaten the brown acid at Woodstock and never come back. Now, back to Joe's letter. Hearing you talk about Justice Sunday reminds me of an incident which took place last year in the small Iowa town I grew up in. There was this minister who had a huge sign in his front yard which clearly showed some aborted fetuses and had a Vote for Bush message on it. The neighbor across the street, as well as a few others, complained to the police, and the police made him take it down. He refused, and when vandals hit it late one night, he then demanded 24-hour police protection. Woo-hoo! You know, and they do. People like that have brass, you know, in wheelbarrows. This town has about 4 or 5 officers. It was impossible to provide that type of protection anyway. But wait, it gets better, Joe says. There were 2 elderly ladies who had John Kerry for President signs in their yards and were members of this congregation. This bastard preacher told these 2 ladies, both of whom I have known for many years, to either vote for Bush or risk being booted out of the church. In a small town such as this, the 2 little old ladies are going to win an argument like this, and did indeed win this one, especially against an out-of-towner. But the point is, these ladies were exercising their right to free speech, and this clown tried to squash it. So your point about calling the IRS about these SOBs breaking the law is a great one, and count me in. Keep up the great work. Thanks, Joe. Keep up the emails. I love emails like that. And there's a lot we can learn from the older generation, too, and that story is reminiscent of that fact. That generation knew how to fight. That generation went through a lot of hell just to get here. And they will stand up. I've had a lot of comments on Wayne's proposal about forming, what do you call it, an old guy brigade? And, Peter just called in, we had a phone malfunction. If you want to try back, please do so. That wasn't Agnes being petulant and hanging up or anything. You should see the looks I get over here sometimes.
I'm sorry, Peter. I'm still working on some of this stuff. Please call back.
Okay. But, no, a lot of good response on Wayne's old guy brigade idea to go and teach a younger generation what it means to stand up and fight, not just for your own rights, but for those of other people. What's done is done. That's Sago number one to a certain extent, and I mean no callousness by that. But it goes back to that line from Mother Jones, mourn the dead, fight like hell for the living. The only way that those miners in the Sago number one shall not have died in vain is if we make sure each and every one of us, by whatever means we can, that it does not happen again. And the excuse of, well, you know, coal is a dangerous business, and every now and then somebody's going to die. You know, we are shocked and dismayed at the death of 12 out of 13 in Upshur County. Last week in Harlan County, a young man died when his legs were sliced off by a man trip in the mine. The man trip being the shuttle car that carries them in, for those of you who don't know. His legs were sliced off by a man trip, and he bled to death there in the mine. Was Anderson Cooper at that mine site? Was that woman, what's her name, Rita Cosby from MSNBC, sounds like Bullwinkle's sister. I'm here in the mines. Was she there in Harlan County for that young man whose legs were sliced off, who left a widow and children? No, of course not. There's that line from that old song, Dirty Laundry, by Don Henley. It's interesting when people die, give us dirty laundry. And that's the trick. It's interesting when people die, multiple people. When one coal miner goes, it's not news. It's barely worth noticing. It hardly gets a mention in the newspaper. So, well, you get my meaning. I hope. Now, back to a few other issues before I do have to close my mouth for 2 days. I mentioned to you this story out of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Well, let's go to the phones. We have rectified our technical difficulty, and Peter is back with us. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. It's so good to talk to you.
Oh, great to talk to you.
You've mentioned this thing a couple of times tonight, the Sunday, Justice Sunday, and I've been looking over their website. The speakers read like a list of who's who in lowlife.
Yeah.
You've got Dobson, you've got Perkins, you've got Jerry Falwell, you've got Santorum. And the thing that really amazes me is there's a speaker, it's a black woman, Alvedia, I guess her name is pronounced King, and she claims here in her resume, the listing on the site, that Dr. Martin Luther King is her uncle. He must be turning over in his grave.
You would think so, yes.
It's amazing that this woman, apparently she's got a whole list of masters and this, that, and the other with, you know, having to do with journalism and religion and what have you. But she was also a Georgia State House of she served in the House of Representatives. Do you know anything about that?
I've never heard of the woman before. I saw her name on the playbill, but I've never heard of her before in my life.
Yeah, I hadn't either. The whole thing is mind-boggling. It's just another huge teleconference of the low life, and you know, it's so obvious. It's just they're trying to give it a rubber stamp. Everything they say is endorsed by God feel to it.
You know, but this is all about, supposedly this is all about Sammy Bad Breath, Peter, and I can't imagine God endorsing a judge who thinks it's okay to sodomize a mentally retarded man with a broom handle. I can't get there.
Yeah, I can't get there either. And the thing about strip searching the little girl, it's outrageous. Amazing stuff. You know, what tripped me over to call you, I was thinking, you know, this evening, you know, I'm not going to call him, this is so minor, all these nasty things going on, the coal mine accident.
No, nothing's ever minor, Peter.
Well, you know, but you know, you said that about I was going to have to keep it all weekend. I thought, God, I can't deal with it.
It's not good for you. It'll make you hurt.
But you know, the thing is, you know, the right has been so quiet about this movie, Brokeback Mountain.
Oh yeah.
A little bit scared of it. You know, it's But I think they're finally starting to leak out a few things. You're going to love what their direction of attack is. One they're saying is, now I haven't seen it yet. It just started running here in Tallahassee today, and I haven't had a chance to see the movie. But apparently one of the cowboys, the character's name is Jake. They're saying Jake was a sexual predator and that he was, predatory on the anyway that the whole thing is a sexual predator situation. But here's where it really gets good. They're saying that they're advocating unsafe sex because they didn't use condoms in the movie.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they do. But here's what you got to understand. The setting of this movie is 1963. Nobody ever heard of AIDS in 1963.
Oh God! They're dumber than a great big bag of hammers, aren't they?
It's all about sexual predators and not using condoms, which is so
Brokeback Mountain, where men are men and sheep are scared.
But the thing is, they're also, you know, what is their thrust for?
Don't say thrust in the context of this story, please.
Well, I'm sorry. A little Freudian there. But the thing is, you know, they're all absence. I mean, they won't talk about condoms at all. I mean, as if they would ever talk about condoms anywhere and recommending it to kids to prevent sexually transmitted
disease. Oh, yeah.
There's no mention of condoms until all of a sudden Brokeback Mountain is promoting unsafe sex, I tell you.
Well, and then we'll back up because I was thinking about this last night, Peter, after running my mouth for just about an hour about Brother Larry Latham. This guy, you know, and the right wing and the Southern Baptists would rather die than engage in safe sex. And I mean that really. They would rather have their children die engaging in unsafe sex than teach them how to use a condom. And here's this guy cruising Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, propositioning, you know, doing the whole Hey Joe routine with this undercover cop.
I know.
And he could take... I mean, you know, the thing is, the liberals, us progressives, us, you know, normal people, we realize that when you do things, when you go out there cruising for hookers, whether they be male or female, because we've got a prohibition on them and because it's driven underground, that you run a profound risk in many instances, especially out on the open street, you run a profound risk of picking up a sexually transmitted disease. This man could have taken a sexually transmitted disease right back to the South Tulsa Baptist Church and let it spread like wildfire. And I don't mean AIDS necessarily. I mean, you know, just an ugly little dose of herpes.
Well, this is absolutely true. Not only do you run the risk of sexually transmitted diseases, you run the risk of getting caught. Now, check this out. The guy's driving a 2005 Mercedes, right?
Right.
I assume he makes a good chunk of change. Why didn't he just call a professional? Hell, Jeff Gannon's out there. And don't tell me there aren't professional male prostitutes in Tulsa, Oklahoma. My God, they're everywhere. What's he doing cruising the street?
Well, that's the problem. You know, you set up that whole professional male prostitute thing on an IM chat, like, you know, AOL's Instant Messenger or the MSN version, whatever. And the next thing you know, the professional male prostitute shows up at your house and he goes, Jesus, Reverend Larry, Brother Sam, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, I guess you're damned either way you go. Man, I'll tell you, these guys are just sitting around in a little red wagon and there are no wheels on it and they're screaming, zoom, zoom. You just have to go fast. What a bunch of idiots.
And we could sit here, Peter, we could laugh our fool heads off at them if they weren't so deadly.
They are, because so many people believe every single word they say.
I may have mentioned it in the past. We have a law in the books here in West Virginia, Peter, and it's only for the fundy parents.
Yeah.
From fifth grade onward, you can, in writing, opt your child out of any mention of teaching about safe sex. Can you imagine that?
Is that a fact?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a law in any state that says you can opt your child out of learning about, what, rabies, trichinosis?
Well, yes, sure. That does a good analogy. Why not? It's equally dangerous, if not more so. Yes, sure. That's a great analogy.
But
no, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine.
We talk about, you know, the state stands in the place of the parents when they're at school, and you know, the state has a duty to protect the children when they're away from the parents' care, and yet we have a law that is for nothing but the absolutely and religion industry insane. So that they don't, you know, parents can say, I don't want my children to learn anything about something that could keep them from dying the very first time they have sex.
Well, you know, the religious right is huge beyond what a lot of people know about. You know, they have their own television satellite called Sky Angel.
No.
Well, absolutely. You can Google it, and a lot of these the mega church sites, and it wouldn't surprise me if Family Research Council site didn't have it. Sky Angel is a something like a DirecTV. You get your box in the house and a little mini dish outside, but it's Christian broadcasting 24 hours a day. And Sky Angel is two words. Sky Angel is promoted heavily in the big mega churches and the far left.
Do they have like their own sitcoms and? Or is it just like 24/7 Lawrence Welk and Pat Robertson?
24/7 like 700 Club and you know that sort of thing. There is no doubt some sort of quote family programming, which you know I've actually never seen it. I just know it's out there and I know that they have a large subscriber base. But in addition to all this Christian radio that we hear all the time, which you know. Some of it's fine. I'm not knocking everybody's got a right to communicate in this country, but they are hardly the poor little cast off,
Yeah, with their noses pressed up against the frosty window pane, looking inside at all, you know, pagans, you know, eating, you know, roasted baby for dinner.
Well, you've got that. And, you know, it's not cheap to launch a freaking satellite to broadcast video. This is expensive stuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing the amount of money that's involved in this. Amazing.
And yet they're the put-upon, persecuted,
yes,
right.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And send us $10. You know, it reminded me of what, you know, Agnes was talking about earlier. They beating her up for $10. And they got a satellite floating up there beaming broadcast television down to, you know.
Sputnik for Jesus.
Yes, it's amazing. There's a lot of hidden money, and so he tools up.
And it's all tax-free.
Yeah, and he tools up in his 2005 Mercedes. He gets busted. I think it's hysterical.
And I really want to see the mugshot. I wish somebody would get, like, really sharp with the Internet and find the mugshot.
Yeah, that's got to be a good one. Yes, the only thing that could be better would be Bush's mugshot, eh?
Oh, my God. Which one?
Well, that's true. That's true. The one that was suppressed for DUI. You know, one of his charges was stealing a Christmas tree from a hotel, I understand.
Oh, my.
Well, yeah, it was all suppressed, but there was, you know, he had like three DWIs and, or was it two DWIs? I get so confused.
Well, I know it was bad enough that Alberto Gonzalez had to have his driver's license scrubbed, and while he was governor of Texas, he had Texas driver's license like 0000001.
Yeah. When he was back feeling his oats as a younger boy cruising Texas, he stole a Christmas tree from the lobby of a hotel, and I don't know any more details than that, but. You know, the mind boggles.
It does indeed. Peter, have yourself a great weekend. I'm glad you were able to share that with us and not have to, you know, that's not good for you to keep that.
No, it would have been an awful weekend. I would have been on furniture, God knows. Agnes, I love you too, hon. Take care.
Love
all right,
you too, Peter.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. No sympathy for brother Larry Latham. None whatsoever. And an email came in the interim from our friend Linda in, I believe, Massachusetts. She says, my sincerest condolences to all the folks in West Virginia who have suffered through this unbelievable tragedy at Sago. But really, this is a loss for all of us. The Sago tragedy has touched all of us normal working people very deeply up here in Boston. I decided to listen to Friday's program later, and I'm now listening to the Wednesday program because I didn't get a chance to earlier and wanted to make sure that I could witness what I know will be a fitting memorial to the events that led to this tragedy. As always, I am struck by your program's ability to connect the dots and remind us how interrelated we all are in this country. There's no problem down there that doesn't affect us up here, and vice versa. And as an aside, oh dear, Wilbur Ross is a close pal and donor to that daring career. Aw, Linda, no, no, no. Please, no, yeah. Wilbur Ross is a close pal and donor to that daring, courageous Democrat, John Kerry. Oh! It just gets worse, doesn't it? We needed to know that. It hurts to know it. We needed to know it. Really. If he'd done his job, maybe we wouldn't be witnessing these events. It's come to the point it's not enough to get rid of just the Republicans. We also have to get rid of the Republicrats like Kerry, Clinton, Biden, et al. Oh, let's not forget. Yeah, let's not lose our Joe Manum. Yeah, let's do lose our Joe Manum. See ya. Lieberman. Thank you for communicating with us, Linda writes, and we certainly will communicate with anyone who will listen to what really is important to all of us. Peace, justice, and the ability to live a productive, healthy life. Or what they used to call liberty. Thank you very kindly, Linda. We do appreciate it. John Kerry, pals with Wilbur. Well, you know, why am I not surprised? We were talking a few days ago about the passing of William Proxmire, Wisconsin senator. Guy ran to work every morning. Wouldn't take campaign contribution number one. Are there any more Proxmires out there? Is somewhere in the sound of my voice, is there a guy who thinks, you know, I'm willing to work hard at it, I'm not rich, don't necessarily want to be rich, but I'd love to represent some working people. You don't have to start out by running for president. You don't have to start out by running for senator, Congress. Wherever you think there is a need that you can meet for working people, run for it. And if you go door to door and you talk to working people, you know, never mind the divisive issues. Never mind whether or not, you know, gay marriage is going to destroy some man and woman's marriage who've been married since, you know, Christ was a corporal in the army of God. Talk to them about what happens day by day by day by day. Talk to them about the real reform that we need. And you know what? If you're running for dog catcher, or county surveyor, or county commission, or mayor, talking about real, honest, progressive issues wins. I know that the right wing wants you to think that everybody, you know, everybody except the weirdos voted Republican in 2004. No. No. It's not that way. If you actually look, progressive candidates scored well, even in so-called red states. There's an article out there, if you go looking for it, called The Da Vinci Code for Democrats. It should be an absolute handbook for anyone who on our side who contemplates a political campaign this year. Go read it. Have a look at it. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and downhill to, oh my God, it's almost over. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And moving on, no one wants to be told that they're getting on and maybe going away for a long, long stay. But just how long and who knows and how and where will my spirit go? Will it soar like jazz on a saxophone? Eternal, and love is immortal, and death is only a horizon. Life is eternal as we move into the light, and the horizon is nothing.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. and I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who worked night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Thanks for being with us all this week. I know it's gotten kind of grim from time to time. Grim business. But we certainly do enjoy your company. Hearing from you, your phone calls, your emails. You know, you sit here and you look at this microphone and it's not an inspiring thing. Doesn't make you feel anything. It doesn't look like people. It's only when you hear back. So thank you so much. Couple of quick, just a few sort of quick hits. Story out of the News Tribune of Tacoma, Washington. Apparently picked up by AP as well. IRS tracked taxpayers' political affiliation. Nice. Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, a member of an appropriations subcommittee with jurisdiction over the IRS, says the practice of the Internal Revenue Service collecting information on the political party affiliations of taxpayers in 20 states was an outrageous violation of the public trust that could undermine the agency's credibility. And IRS officials did acknowledge that party affiliation information was routinely collected by a vendor for several months. They told the vendor last month to screen that information out. Now, you stop that. Stop that. The bottom line is the bottom line is that we have never used this information, said John Leipold, an IRS spokesman. There are strict laws in place that forbid it. Really? Strict laws? Really, really strict laws? Strict laws, Mr. Leipold, strict laws like, the Fourth Amendment that says, no unreasonable searches and seizures and no shall issue except upon a warrant based upon probable cause. That's strict? Strict like the strict laws that tell the National Security Administration not to spy on American citizens or American persons? That strict, Mr. Leipold? Yeah, see, we're not doing that right now doesn't fly anymore. Don't believe you. Don't believe you at all. From CNN, U.S. says bomb hit wrong house in Iraq. Whoops! Strike aimed at insurgents killed 6 family members. A bomb that killed 6 civilians Monday near Baji, Iraq, missed its target by 65 feet and hit the wrong home. See, that's the problem. You know, when you're dropping bombs from 40,000 feet, 65, that's within the bullseye.
No, they were using smart munitions. Not that smart! The U.S. Navy F-14 Tomcat fighter jet strafed the building before the bomb was dropped. Oh, well, how nice. They didn't just miss it. They missed it twice. God. The bomb had, quote, successful effects against the insurgents, unquote. That means they blew what they suspect were insurgents but turned out to be a family of six into lots and lots of different constituent parts of a human being. One of 58 air missions the U.S. military carried out Monday over Iraq. We don't know that. We have no idea of the scope of what's going on.
Yeah, but that Johns Hopkins study that says we've killed over 100,000 innocent Iraqis, that can't be true. Because George is a Christian.
U.S. military officials said they are investigating why the wrong building was hit and attempting to put Humpty Dumpty back together. No, Humpty Ahmed back together again. Dick Cheney. the insurgency's in its last throes. Nah, Dick. When you're dropping bombs on houses and killing six, you know, innocent people, the insurgency's, that's when it grows, Dick. And I have not even touched, all week long, I have not touched on the firestorm of controversy arising from Congressman Murtha's statement that if he were eligible for the military today, he would not join. What kind of horror must the military be in for a man like John Murtha, who gave 30 years of his life plus to the United States Marine Corps, who was, for God's sakes, who was through Korea, who was through Vietnam, for him to say that he would not join the military today? And Lord, the hell he is catching. The Pentagon has called him everything but a human being. And even that erstwhile, you know, America's most popular liberal talk radio program, The Ed Schultz Show, and his Ed Heads. He calls himself a liberal from the heartland. Yeah, he sounds like Rush Limbaugh, frankly. You know, maybe an octave off or a half, I don't know, maybe a half tone. He has come out and been part of that megaphone calling Congressman Murtha everything but a human being. See, this is why I say that progressives, liberals, the people who really love America, that is why I say that henceforward we will define whether or not you're a Democrat. Wilbur Ross, you can have all the tea and crumpets you want with John Kerry. Buster, you're no Democrat. Joe Lieberman, you want to rub up and get all fuzzy and fuzzy and funky with George W. Bush? You're no Democrat. We will take this party back to where it belongs. We will take this party back to caring about working people's issues, working people's lives, working people's well-being, the safety of working people in the working world. We will take this party back to caring about whether or not we can pass a planet that is fit to live on to our children and their children and the generation beyond. That is our job. Our job. Don't you think? I hope you agree. Now, I said at the top of the program that it was sort of a puckered up Friday. And then not that kind of puckering, dear. That it was a puckered up kind of Friday, and that some of the puckering, you know, the business with China and the dollar and the T-bills and, well, as if they weren't puckered up enough with the Jack Abramoff scandal. Which, by the way, do please remember, Mike Malloy noted it so well last night. If you didn't catch his program, I don't like, but let me. Jack, no matter what they say in the liberal media, Jack Abramoff never gave even the teeniest, tiniest widow's mite to a Democrat. None. Nada. Niente. Nihil. Non. Nothing. Not a damn dime. Now, some clients of his did, and those monies are being hastily unloaded. Some clients of but Jack Abramoff never gave a penny to a Democrat, not one, ever, anywhere. Now, by extension, what this means, when you hear the right-wingers and the Republicans and the, you know, just the general, you know, hate brigade talking about it, well, he was an equal opportunity buyer, you know, he gave equally to Democrats. No, it's a damn lie. And if you are willing, if you, as a right, one of the little, you know, cretins that sort of nibbles around the corners of this program, if you're willing to believe that, let me explain what you're actually believing. If you believe the mainstream media when they tell you that Jack Abramoff gave equally, what you're believing is, what you are confessing, okay, let's use the right word, what you are confessing is that Jack Abramoff and his Indian tribes and Grover Norquist and Ralph Reed and all these other people, you know, what you're confessing is the most monstrous, hideous, criminal conspiracy within the history of this government. Because if an Indian tribe giving to a Democrat is the same as Jack Abramoff giving to a Democrat, then, well, it is what it is, and you're confessing the existence of a monstrous criminal conspiracy within the Republican Party. I mean, to the level of being prosecutable under the Racketeer Influenced Corrupt Organization Act, the RICO statute. You know, the one where you lose your house and your boat. That kind of conspiracy. But as if that wasn't enough, there are lots of Republicans running around Washington today who would explode if they, well, never mind. Washington's power players have always bragged about being well-wired, this from Time magazine. But for disgraced former Congressman Duke Cunningham, Randy Duke Cunningham, you remember Randy Duke Cunningham, from San Diego, the guy that took the $2.4 million bribe, lived on a houseboat on the Potomac, had a mansion in San Diego. Randy Duke Cunningham was wired in, too, but it's not quite what they usually mean. No, as it turns out that after he struck his deal, well, he wore a wire. Oh, he went around to all his cronies and his bribers, and it was all recorded. Legally, you know, with a court order, like Dear Leader says. Randy Duke Cunningham.
Howdy, Miss Cunningham.
Randy Duke Cunningham. Man with a wire. Now, see, that's legal. You get the court order, you get the, you don't even have to the court order in this, but you just say, listen, Buster, you're going up for a million years if you don't wear the wire. And he wears the wire and he goes around, and, oh, this is going to get real sleazy. Ultra sleazy. A bit of abject stupidity from the state of Missouri. Headline from the Jefferson City News Tribune. Missouri lawmaker seeks to ban sale of cold beer. This is the political equivalent. Missouri. Anheuser-Busch, you know, the commercials. Brought to you by Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. That Missouri. what's this clown's name? Senator Bill Alter. Yeah, he's a Republican. This is political suicide. Wants to ban the sale of beer colder than 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Because it'll cut down on the drinking and the driving. Well, Senator Bill, not to be flip or anything, pal, but show me. You know, Missouri, show me state. Show me.
Has he ever been to an Irish pub?
Well, no. It's when you go into the 7-Eleven and you get a six pack. You know, he thinks that, you know, if you're selling cold beer, you're going to drink it all before you get home. So he doesn't want you to be able, if you live in Missouri, where is this clown from? Oh my God, yeah, he's from High Ridge, wherever the heck that is in Missouri. Any Missourians help me out with that one? He's from High Ridge.
Yeah, no wonder he's not into the cold. He's not into the cold beer. He's from High Ridge. I thought it was that the best chance of getting legislative attention, said Alter R. High Ridge. Plus, I think it's a good idea whether or not other people do. Oh, somebody was having a lot of fun. Chris Blank from the Associated Press was having a real blast with this one. Some lawmakers and lobbyists, however, are lukewarm to the idea. Now, it's no secret, I started college in the great state of Missouri. And I don't know if it's still this way. Somebody can help me out if they want to. But in the great state of Missouri, you know, it's one of those, what to my wondering eyes should appear when I got there. My God. Now, I grew up in Alabama. When I left Alabama, it was still, I still lived in what was called a dry county. No beer, no wine, no liquor. No nothing. You know, you got a hard look from the nice Methodist cash register lady when you bought two bottles of vanilla extract. You know, you either had to drive to Huntsville, Alabama, or you had to drive up to Tennessee and buy it illegally in Savannah to get liquor. So, you know, what to my wondering eyes should appear? I get to Missouri, they sell it in the gas station, they sell it in the beauty shop, they sell it in the grocery store, they sell it at the veterinarian's office. You can buy a bottle of booze. You can buy a bottle of booze anywhere in Missouri unless the law has changed. So this dumbass clown, I'm sorry. No, this Senator Alter says that if we can just make sure that you can't buy a cold beer in Missouri, drunk driving will go down. Now, bear in mind, they're not refrigerating the liquor in Missouri, or anywhere else for that matter. You can't get a cold. I want you to see. Dadgummit, they drive me crazy. This is Republican thinking. This is conservative thinking. Now, let's say Arlie goes in on Friday afternoon. The shift is over. He pulls into the 7-Eleven or whatever the Rippy Mart, you know, the convenience store in Missouri. And he wants a cold six-pack for when he gets home, and he damn sure doesn't want to sit. You know, I mean, now, you know, if you've ever been a college student or, you know, even a good redneck, you know that if you take a can of beer and you set it in a thing of ice and you sit there and you sort of spin it in the ice, in like 5 minutes, it's cold enough to drink. Now, this guy, this senator, this Republican, here's what he wants to. Now, he's afraid that between the Rippy Mart and home, he's afraid Arlie is going to crack open one of those Budweiser, St. Louis, Missouri, and drink it down, and on that one beer be all kinds of liquored up and, you know, drive into a school bus or something. And I'm not making light of drunk driving. But that, I mean, that's the mindset. Never mind the fact that if Arlie can't get a cold beer, what Arlie is more likely to do is to get a warm pint of, you know, Old Panther or whatever. And, you know, let's assume that Arlie is going to do what the senator is afraid he's going to do. He's going to crack that can of Bud open and pound it down. Newsflash, that can of beer is not going to get Brother Arlie drunk. However, if he gets him an ice-cold Coca-Cola and that pint of Old Panther and cracks that Coca-Cola and takes a few good pulls on that pint, then he's nice and liquored up before he can get around the corner. You see the difference? Of course you do. You're liberal, you're Democrat, you're progressive, you're intelligent. Not some daggum ditto head. And this is, you know, this is what they want. This is that we want to control you before we even think about how it is we want to control you. So next up, you know, now that we've pointed this out for Senator Alter from High Ridge, the next thing we get, well, we can't serve Coca-Cola or Pepsi at more than lower than 60 degrees either, because maybe then he won't be chasing that. No, Senator, then he's going to drink it straight, you jerk. Do you understand?
I mean, this is not about booze. This is not that's not the point of this little exegesis. This is about stupidity. I have asked repeatedly, are Republicans that daggum dumb, or do they think we are? And I keep getting closer and closer and closer to finally just having to sort of look the monster in the face and say, they're that dumb. They are just that dumb. How dumb do you have to be to think that you're going to end drunk driving by selling, by making... A guy who wants to drive drunk is going to, will drink the warm beer. Okay? Okay, so, or maybe he passes on the warm beer and goes for the warm Merlot or the warm Mad Dog 2020. You know, this is another, they miss the forest for the trees. God. Let's see. Bush recess appointments meet with protests. So what? No, I mean, I don't mean to make light of it. President Bush's decision to bypass the Senate in filling posts at the State Department, Federal Election Commission, and National Labor Relations Board drew protests Thursday from lawmakers and advocacy groups. Because, you know, in another... Yeah. I mean, this guy's gone all Henry, all Louis XIV. You know, l'état, c'est moi. You know, if the man could speak French, you know, he believes he really is the government. Under the Constitution, the president may avoid the Senate confirmation process and make appointments. This is from the Washington Post. While the chamber is in recess, such appointments usually are short-term, expired, yada yada. But because the Senate held a pro forma session Tuesday and then adjourned, the White House contends the second session of the 109th Congress has begun, and therefore the White House believes Bush's nearly 20 recess appointments are valid until the following session. You understand? This is what David was talking about last night. The Bush administration has gotten to the point where they will just tell the Senate what they believe. We are a hair's breadth away from having that situation where he does the whole Caligula thing and leads a horse in and declares him a member of the Senate. You know, Senator Incitatus. Because this is nitpicking. This is nitpicking just to be screwing with the Senate to see if they'll screw back. I mean, this is screwing with the Republican senators, too. So, oh, mercy. You know, you can drop a letter to your line, an email to your senator and say, you know, that they ought to slap back. But will they? I don't know. I don't know. Our friend David in South Carolina sent this along. You hated Bob Novak, the guy who outed Valerie Plame? Guess what? He's gone from CNN now. Who are they hiring to replace him? That's right. Bingo Billy Bennett, the guy who said, it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down. That Bill Bennett has been hired as the conservative point of view replacement Robert Novak. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. From worst to worser to worst. You can, however, tell CNN that you don't much care for it if you feel like doing so. If you will go to Media Matters for America, mediamatters.org, you can click on a link there and they'll help you send the message to CNN telling them that you don't want genocidal right-wing freaks being passed off as an opinion maker. There is a memorial. Doggone it, I need the link. There's a memorial for the Sago mine victims up. Fine lady named Gracie Stover has put it up. CNN covered it this evening.
somebody quick before the show is over, send me the link so I can mention that, please. And, well, or not. That's it. Everything else has to wait until Monday, by which time we will have a whole couple of new news cycles through, and we'll probably forget all about half of what I've talked about tonight, because they intend for us to be the attention deficit disorder nation. The media does, and the Republicans do. Don't let them do it. Keep stuff in the forefront. Ask questions. Ask hard questions, and don't take a bunch of double talk for an answer. Sorry, I don't mean to be bossy. I'm doing it again. I apologize. The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. The studio was engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, our dear friend and computer genius, maintains the stream, as well as the archives of this and any number of other liberal talk radio programs. Again, I remind you, when you listen to this live stream, or when you listen to the archives, or when you go for podcasting to WhiteRoseSociety.org, you'll never get a bill from Ben. You just have to do it on the honor system. Be honorable. Help Ben out. The show is brought to you every night, of course, by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream. And always, always, RMR, it's all for you.